now we're heading to the heart of the phenomenon, SoMa, San Francisco, where a bunch of national novelers met up one night to work on their novels together at a write-a-thon. The write-a-thon, which happened in the middle of November, brought out some hardcore novelers. I met some people in their 7th, 8th, and 9th years participating, and, of course, the 150,000-word woman.
So can I get you to say your name, please? And, you can just do first name only, it's fine. Or even no name at all, whatever.
You can use an alias.
Okay. You can use an alias if you like your pen name.
Okay. My name's Margaret, and I'm writing a middle reader for kids about a boy who has a sensory processing disorder. And he wants to fly an airplane. That's all I've got so far.
And?
My novel is a dystopian novel about a woman who runs away from her wife and kids and ends up involved with a lot of very sort of outlaw characters in the desert.
And could you describe where we are right now?
Well, we're under some very bright lights. We're at SoMart, it's south of Market. There's some bicycles. There's many people nearby. Some are wearing hats for the film noir theme tonight. Others, you know, writers come in two kinds. There's the very quiet, non-performance type writers, and those are dressed in their normal clothes. And then there's the more sort of exhibitionistic type, like to get up in front of a mic and an audience type writer, and most of those are wearing hats or more noirish clothes tonight.
So what you're saying is we have a perfect contrast right here.
I wouldn't say perfect contrast, but we do have contrast.
Your outfit is film noir. Are you a particular character?
As close as I could get.
While we're talking, the line has moved and I'm now at the front. Inside, Chris, a lanky, shaved-headed guy with a ready double-row smile, pumps my hand and points me to the sign and table behind him. At the table, I cautiously inform the woman with the clipboard that I'm a guest of Chris's and receive my goodie bag. From Tavia, the woman who planned the night, I learned that about $30,000 were raised for the National Novel Writing Month parent organization, the Office of Letters and Light. She also tells me that about 150 people are here, almost twice last year's total. Excited, I dump my materials into my laptop bag and enter the next room. I'm in a medium-sized, well-lit room with a noir movie playing on a screen in the corner. A snack table, laden with cheese and bread and various dips, runs along one wall. On the other side of the room is a bar, surprisingly uncrowded, where the occasional visitor stops to grab a red stripe or a soda or a cup of red wine. I decide to stake out the bar.
So, back here behind the bar with...
My name is Kara Platoni.
Oh, I didn't even have to ask you to do that. You're so good. All right, go.
I can speak in 10-sentence blurbs. 10-second blurbs. Oh. Sorry, we're all very tired. We've been here... You have to get her to say that again.
I'm a nano wino.
That was the wittiest thing so far I've heard tonight.
Oh, great. I just needed it just this very second.
Oh, man.
Maybe I'll put it in my novel.
I love your costume. You should describe what you're wearing for the radio.
I'm wearing a long, slinky black dress that is a... What is this kind of collar called?
A halter
collar. Thank you. With gold flowers that have little diamonds in them around the waist. It's very low cut.
She saunters, or maybe sashays off. Something tells me I'll be seeing her again. I go back to talking to Kara.
So, how many years have you done this?
So this is my 8th year writing a nano novel.
How has it changed over the 8 years?
I think they're getting progressively worse, actually. Yeah.
Really?
I've been using the same character for 8 years because I'm too lazy to think up any new ones. I think after the third year it got harder. Because, you know, the first novel is actually the easiest because every good idea you've had in your whole life, you can throw it in the same novel. And then, you know, like with bands, they have the sophomore slump on their second album.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And third year, you get it back together. But fourth year after that, what's left to say?
So you've kind of gone through the rise and fall.
That's right.
Like, if I was a band, on the fourth year, it would be the year where you get a new bassist. Yeah. And then after the fifth year, you're off the map.
And you suck after that.
Yeah, pretty much.
So have you kept at it?
I'm proud to be sucky. That's okay. I don't mind.
Interesting. So yeah. Then why do you do it if your novels suck?
Well, it's fun. It's really fun to write. Yeah.
I can't imagine that being fun, though.
No, it's actually great. Yes, it is.
Is everyone here a masochist?
I would say that a lot of the people here are people who enjoy extreme challenges. Because, you know, a lot of people don't stop at 50,000 words. There are a lot of people who do two novels in a month. There are some people who do a novel a week. There's quite a few record holders who try to pass the, you know, the 100,000 mark, 200,000 mark.
Oh,
it's just run out again.
It's unbelievable. I'm overwhelmed right now.
The room housing the bar has six or so tables, where people sit and talk and snack before heading back to the main space where all the laptops are plugged in. Every now and then, there will be applause from the main room as the winner of a 20-minute word race is announced. I figure I won't get much out of anyone over there, since they're all bound to be typing away, so I linger by the snacks. Soon I meet a woman named Lisa, who is blessed with great wisdom.
It's Lisa Frankfort, with an O. And this is my fourth year doing Nano.
Lisa's a therapist who's written before. One of her books is about community building, and another's about assertiveness. I ask her what she's writing about for her novel.
And what is my story about? It's about a boy. It's over the course of a couple of years, 14 to 17, and it's his experience of his parents' marriage disintegrating and his conflict around his loyalties amongst different members in his family.
From a rough survey of the other writers, Lisa's in a minority. By far the most popular genres for NaNoWriMo are, well, genres. Science fiction, romance, fantasy, thriller. What Lisa's trying to write is so-called literary fiction. Fiction that basically fits into none of those categories and is usually realer, i.e. more depressing. For obvious reasons, this is much tougher to churn out in a month. I believe, in fact, that Lisa would resent my even using the word churn to describe the process. I ask her if she ever makes compromises to up her word count.
No, I actually don't. And I think that the more that I've written, the harder that is to do. I mean, I know that there's lots of tricks of the trade. You know, people having dreams, having aliens drop down, somebody arrives with a knife, you know, that sort of thing. Killing off your character seems to be a big one, but I can't do that.
Lisa seems ready to get back to work, so I take my leave. All around me, people swarm, talking about their novels, thinking about their novels, and actually writing their novels. I start to think about the so-called death novel, and remember a conversation I had earlier with Jesse Nathan. Jesse's an editor at McSweeney's, a popular San Francisco-based literary magazine and publisher of books of short stories. Jesse also reviews books for the San Francisco Chronicle and writes on his own, so I thought he'd be a good person to ask about this so-called death.
I ran into a guy in L.A. and told me that print is dead. I don't know, I think there's a lot of misguided sort of, the age of the internet, print is over, and book sales are going down, and small bookstores are going under, and some of that's true, you know, I think there's a shift going on, but literacy is higher among the population of the United States. Literacy is higher than it has ever been, you know, and it just keeps on climbing, so more and more people are reading, and I think there's plenty of good stuff being written. I sure can't keep up with it.
I wonder how many books being written tonight will end up getting reviewed for the Chronicle. It's happened before. A book set in the early 20th century about a guy who joins the circus called Water for Elephants, which was written during NaNoWriMo, and then edited extensively for months afterward, made it to the top of the New York Times bestseller list. The helpful media section of the NaNoWriMo website lists 28 other books written during the month that have found publishers. I look around, trying to spot the next published author.
Could you tell me your name, please, and what you're doing here tonight?
I'm Chelsea Harper, and I'm writing for NaNoWriMo. I'm trying to catch up on my word count.
Why do you do it?
Because I have a story to tell.
What's that story?
Well, you know, like the cool, cheesy kind of things, you know, like self-love and people getting together and solving problems and overcoming evil, you know. Well, you know, the usual kind of stuff.
So, what does it mean to you to finish?
Well, I actually haven't finished, like, my story yet. I've been working on the same story for 3 years. So, I don't know what it means yet. But I think it means, like a personal goal kind of thing. Like, it's really deep and, It kind of reaches out to you, and like you can create something, and it's just really important and really awesome that you can create characters that actually come to life and can hopefully go and enter other people's hearts.
still looking for that mythical 100,000-word writer, or at least someone who thinks they might get published, I find Sarah, one of the youngest writers at the event, and possibly the only one without a laptop. Like Chelsea, Sarah also has a story to tell. Hers is not the people coming together and solving problems kind, though.
Questions are easy.
Okay.
So, could you tell me your name, please, and what you're doing here?
I'm Sarah, and I'm volunteering for NaNoWriMo.
And you're also participating?
Yes.
What's your story about?
My story is kind of like a response to a lot of the on-the-road sort of literature about journeying across, like finding yourself through a journey. And mine's going to be a little bit different, though. It's a twist on that.
What's the twist?
You want me to give away the ending?
Yes.
So it's kind of like the idea that through women and traveling, it's just going to end up being spiritually empty and meaningless.
Great. That book needs to be written. Thank you.
I'm feeling low, as if Sarah's epiphany will soon become mine. I journey out into the world of national novel writing, looking for interesting truths about the novel, only to find meaninglessness and spiritual emptiness. I decide I'll venture out onto the typing ground. While I'm walking, something Jesse, my friend from McSweeney's, said before pops into my head.
Graham Greene limited himself to 500 words a day. Hemingway wouldn't write for more than 2 hours, you know, really concentratedly. And I think that's because you do have a capacity concentration-wise.
Capacity concentration is an interesting term. It almost makes it sound like good writing for more than a few hours is an impossibility. But then I get an image of a marathon and realize it is possible. Both can be done, if you want to bad enough. I'm inside the main space now. It's vast and filled with the sound of clicking and key jabbing. I see a man leaning against a wall taking pictures, an observer. I approach him.
Hey, that's some camera you got there.
It's actually the lens.
That's impressive?
Yeah.
I got you. Lens,
the man tells me that he is a participant in NaNoWriMo as well, and that he runs a company that designs software programs for writers.
And I take a lot of photos of the NaNoWriMo events, and gotcha. You find them on Flickr.
So you've done this before?
Yes, a bunch of times.
Are you yourself a writer?
I am. So I've been doing NaNoWriMo for, three or four years now, and came down for this event last year, which was just an amazing event. And this year it looks like it's even bigger, and boy, they've really done a nice job.
Yeah, can you describe to me what sort of room we're in right now? What is this?
Well, it almost looks like an old boat dock or a boat shed that you would use to build a boat. It's several stories high and a little bit rough on the interior with truss lighting on black circular tables with black tablecloth.
He has an interesting theory about what happens when you write intensely for a month straight.
The middle week or two is when a lot of times you hit a wall. You start out really enthusiastically, you're writing hot, you're writing very quickly, and then you get to maybe the 12,000 words, and then you start to say, okay, where's the story going? And you pull your rabbits out of the hat, call in favors, ask your friends for plot ideas, and eventually you find your way through the middle of the book, which is a lot of writers will tell you that's the hard part. And then you get on to the end, and you know when you're writing the conclusion, the last act, a lot of times it goes very, very quickly, and that's the fun part when you see the landing, and you're about to take it in for the final landing, and then when you finish or reach 50,000 words, then you can jump around and do your funny dance in your room wherever you can do that privately.
He seems so calm and confident. Compared to Hari Ray's class, all the writers here are far more laid back. Maybe it's because they're veterans. Or maybe it's the environment. As we finish talking, the Nano Wino wanders into sight.
Excuse me, Miss Nano Wino?
Yeah?
Would you...
I'm still in my first glass of wine, I want to point out.
how many glasses of wine do you expect to be on before the night's over?
Oh, well, I think that I can safely drink four, and, you know, it is the night of writing dangerously, so we'll see.
I hear it can be pretty dangerous to write drunk, actually.
I expect it to be a dangerous night, yeah.
Have you written drunk any previous occasion?
I have written much of my novel drunk, yes, yes.
How does it compare? Why do you do that?
You know, because I have to write a lot to get through 50,000 words in 30 days, and some of that time I'm just bound to be drunk.
Of course. What's just better?
Be sober all the time.
No, of course not. Yeah. Any other altered states that you go into?
No, not this month.
Okay.
I'm happy for the Nano Wino that she's been able to incorporate one of her daily habits so smoothly with the task of writing every day. I think that's a sign of a true master. You don't let it stop you from doing what you like to do, whether that's get drunk, play checkers, or read to your children. The next woman I met says she didn't realize that was possible for a long time.
My username is Marco Polo. My real name is Lisa.
Your username, where?
On the NaNoWriMo.org website.
Have you finished every year that you've participated?
The first year I didn't. The first year I didn't actually believe that it was possible to write 50,000 words in a month and also like have a job and have a life. And so I said, oh, well, I'll do 20,000. And I did that. And then the next year I went to the local meetup of other people that were about to start doing it. And I said this to them and they were all like, no, you don't understand. Like, the people here in this room have done this before. We all have jobs and lives and kids and all this stuff. And I realized, oh, yeah, actually, anyone can write 50,000 words a month. You just have to want to.
Lisa's jolly, like almost everyone else I've met at the write-a-thon. It occurs to me to ask jolly Lisa a deep question. It's a question I haven't thought to ask before, but one that seems important in getting a sense of just what writing a novel will mean for her life.
Have you ever taken on a project as big as this before?
No, probably NaNoWriMo is the first really big kind of goal that I've set myself, and it's been great. That's why I keep doing it year after year.
But now that you know you can finish it, do you even wonder at the beginning of the month? Is it always like, oh man, 50,000 words, or is it just like...
I have to admit that it no longer seems like a challenge simply to do it. So like last year I gave myself a different challenge, which was that I wanted to finish a whole novel that I knew was going to be more than 50,000 words. And so it ended up being about 80,000 words. And you're making a face as if that's impressive, but actually a lot of people write a lot more than that. Some people write 100,000 or 150,000 words in a month, and that's like no big deal to them.
Are they around here?
One of my friends sitting over at my table is planning to do 150,000 words. I can take you to her if you want.
Can we go talk to her?
She might not want to talk. She's a little bit shy about.
Okay.
Stuff.
And like that, I found what I'm looking for. Lisa steers me over to a table in the middle of the room and introduces me to her friend Steph. Steph's about a head taller than me, decked out in heavy-duty noir attire. She's happy to talk.
Okay, my name is Stephanie Neal, and this is my third year doing Nano, and last year I missed the night of writing dangerously, so I decided this year I'm going to come. And actually, believe it or not, I'm one of those very rare writers who actually gets energy from being around people. So if my story's not going well, I say, okay, now what? And somebody's like, well, what's going on? And I explain, they're like, you could do this or this or this. And then it sparks an idea, and there I go. So as of tonight, I have 68,100 words. Starting. So I've already technically won, but my goal is 150,000.
Tell me about your life that you can do this.
Actually, I had been out of work for a while and not knowing what I wanted to do. And my friend said, hey, have you ever thought of writing? And I said, no, I'm a reader, not a writer. And she's like, well, we'll try this, see what happens. So I'm like, okay. So I have another friend who's a published author. And I said, if you can give me one piece of advice for a struggling new writer, what would it be? She said, know your characters inside and out. So I sat down and I interviewed a character in my head, and they wrote the story for me. And I wasn't trying to do it fast, but the story came. And that's how I do it.
So you just discovered you had this untapped talent. How would you say NaNoWriMo's changed your life, other than showing you that?
Oh my God. NaNoWriMo has completely changed my life. Before NaNoWriMo, I had no idea what I wanted to do. I was out of work. I didn't know. But now I want to be a writer, and I'm a member of the Romance Writers of America, and I have finished two manuscripts, and I'm working on my third and hope to get published within a couple of years. So it has like completely changed my life.
So romance, what attracts you to the romance genre?
I love to read it. and they say you should write what you love to read. And I love sci-fi, I love fantasy, and I love romance. And right now, for me, the biggest market to break into for a new writer is romance. Because they're always searching for the next Jane Ann Krentz, the next big romance writer.
So what makes you stand out from the pack?
Oh, I don't know.
As your extremely impressive ability to write in a month.
I think I just channel my inner imagination. Because I firmly believe that when we're young, our imaginations are wide open. And then as we grow into adults, the responsibility closes our imagination. And if you can get that burst open again, the sky's the limit. It really is.
I'm actually inspired by Steph's speech. I think of my own writing, my frustrating inability to imagine what should happen next. Maybe my imagination's shutting down. Maybe I should just have more fun with it. But is that all a novel should be, just fun? The photographer was writing a political thriller. Steph's writing romance. Is that all a novel should be, just a good time? Something Jesse told me comes into my thoughts.
Most art should entertain. I mean, there is some maybe dull good art somewhere, I don't know. But John Berryman said that all the art that really survives will be shown to be done by an intellectual. And that's not like the intellectual in the kind of stereotyped way. It sounds like kind of a snobby statement, so it sounds bad. But I think what he's saying is just that all the art that lasts, whether it's a book or a painting, comes from a very thoughtful place in a person.